And welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I'm going to go over back issues, purchases. Purchased since the last episode. Absolutely none. Can you believe that? I can. I've been trying to cut back a little bit, sever the addiction a little bit, but I have 3 orders in the process. I have some comics coming from Heroes Con from Kirk. I needed to get my derelict. And then I have some comics coming from Aaron Myers and some comics coming from the Twitter auctions, I guess you could say they are. But I'll have some coming soon. I also have no questions. So thank you for listening. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go over the previews spotlight, and it's kind of exciting because now we're getting into Marvel, I believe. Or no, Image. I can't remember where I left off. Hold on. Where did I leave off? Yeah, I think I left off at Image. So let's get to Image. And in Image Comics, we had Cyber Force number 4. So this is still really early in the series. And this was the original miniseries, number 4 of 4 by Silvestri. We had an Operation Urban Storm. This one I don't know if I have, but it sounds cool. It says Rob Liefeld, Todd McFarlane, Jin Lee, Eric Larson, Will Spartasio, Mark Silvestri, Jim Valentino, Scott Williams, Brandon Choi, Brian Murray, and Murat Michaels were a special benefit edition. I don't think I have this. Operation Urban Storm. Did it happen? Well, for one thing, I got to bring up my database. I'm so unprepared. It's Friday. I got out early, believe it or not. And I was supposed to get out even earlier because I hit my 40 yesterday, but some stuff came up and I had to work through it. But I'm bringing up my comic base. It loads pretty fast, if everything's working right. So I just wanted to check this because this is something I really want in my collection if it exists and I don't have it. So Operation Urban Storm. I don't think it exists. Operation. Stormbreaker. There's no Urban Storm. Let's see if Stormbreaker is anything. Oh, that was a claim. That was a Valiant book by Mark Waid, Brian Augustine, and Doug Braithwaite. But I don't see that. Did it ever come out? No! That sucks. Because the city is in flames. There's panic in the streets, and even the combined might of the Image heroes may not have been enough to pull an end to this senseless violence and confusion. Then I listed all the names. Combine their talents for the special benefit. Proceeds which will go to Rebuild LA Foundation. Wow, that sucks. It never came out. Maybe it was just Urban Storm. Let's try that. Let's try Urban Storm. No, there's no Urban. If I go to just Urban, There's nothing like that. Urban hipster, urban legends. Yeah, that's unfortunate. I didn't know that existed. There's reason, I guess, I didn't know that existed, but that would have been cool. So let's see what else. There's an awesome full-page ad for Pitt coming in November from Image Comics. So this is Pitt number one on the next page. And by the way, this is from the Previews magazine from 1992. It's The Death of Superman. So the Pitt was coming out. That one I know came out. Savage Dragon versus Megaton Man. Eric Larson and Don Simpson, I know that came out. Whether these were on time, I don't know. Shadowhawk number 4 by Valentino, that did happen with Savage Dragon guest starring. There was a Shadowhawk t-shirt you could got for $13.95. Shadowhawk trading cards. 90 card series. As an added bonus, 6 comic images, prism cards will be randomly packed within the wax pack, 10 cards per pack. Spawn number 7 by Todd McFarlane. Splitting image number 1. I do have this. That was like a satire book from Image. Supreme number 3 by Rob Liefeld and Brian Murray. Wetworks number 2 by Will Spertasio. And that's it from Image. So you could see they weren't putting out a lot at this particular time. Innovation had Angry Shadows signed and a bunch of cyberpunks resolicit. And a Freddy's Dead Nightmare graphic novel resolicit. I've been trying to pick up Innovation stuff when I find it. I don't seek it out, but when if it come across it. Oh, Queen of the Damned number 5. I believe I have all of the Anne Rice stuff. Because I was buying it for my mom, and recently my mom gave me them back. I bought, she was much younger. Now she's much older, and she didn't want this stuff. Let's see, Jade Man had the Blood Sword, the Blood Sword Dynasty. I don't know what any of this is. Drunken Fist, the Force of Buddha's Palm, the Iron Marshal, Oriental Heroes, number 53. Never even heard of them. Jal Publishing had the Missing Years. That sounds cool. This new series will cover the so-called missing years of strip reprints, featuring comic runs not reprinted by other reprint series and magazines. This issue features Dick Tracy, Terry and the Pirates, Jim Hardy, Captain Easy. So it's like a strip thing. There was a Strip Adventures volume number 2 that had Alley-Oop, Mandrake the Magician, Prince Valiant, Rip Kirby, Secret Agent, Steve Roper and Tyler Luck. Also, Sundays exploits of Flash Gordon and the Phantom and Tarzan. There's a book called Rock Memes. Issues 1 through 4 are available. Never heard of that from JZ Inc. Comics. JM Comics had Southern Blood. Kitchen Sink had Blood Club by Charles Burns. What's interesting about that is I think I see a new one in the brand new previews, a reprint of that Charles Burns comic. So in the new previews, look it out. I can't remember if it's Fantagraphics or who was putting it out. Kitchen Sink was doing a Flash Gordon Volume 5, reprinting Alex Raymond's classic space serial Flash Gordon. They were doing man bait card set. That looks interesting. This trading card set reproduces 36 tacky movie posters from such toddy films as Alimony, Forgotten Girls, Women Without Names, Swamp Women, Convicted Women, and much more. Each card is printed in glorious full color and features the original poster artwork from forgotten films that played the underside of the theater double bills. A lot of trading card sets. The Spirit was coming out by Eisner from Kitchen Sink, The Origin Years. Krauss Publications had Comic Buyer's Guide. I don't have too many of those. And the ones I do have were not the newspaper magazines that they had that would come out weekly. They were the ones that were coming out towards the tail end of it going away. And they were more like a Wizard magazine. X-Mutants number 1 was coming out from Malibu Comics. The Malibu Sun number 19. I wish I had the Spawn one so much. It's expensive as hell. This one had the Pit and X-Mutants in it. X-Mutants was excellent, by the way. I loved that series. Protectors number 3. Absolutely loved this series. It was fantastic. God, I love that series. Tarzan the Beckoning. I was getting that, too. That was really good. Tom Eats art. And a full-color limited series. Tarzan and Jane find themselves taking on the illegal ivory trade. Smugglers and poachers, a hired assassin, and an African trickster god. Couple of magazine stuff. We get to Marvel Comics. And I'm going to save that for next time because that's going to take quite some time to get through. There's at least 20. There's more pages than I went over today. There's a lot. Maybe 25 pages. It's crazy. And this thing did come with a Silver Surfer Prism insert in this previews. It's pretty nice Silver Surfer card, but that takes us to the M's in Marvel. We got past the M's and now we'll be at Marvel. So we're getting close to finishing that, and then I have something else to go into. But, yeah, and I also want to talk about, briefly, some of the TV shows I'm enjoying immensely right now. They don't seem, one of them doesn't seem like it's in my wheelhouse, but I absolutely love it. But it is the Bear. It's a show on Hulu or FX, I guess, but I'm watching it on Hulu. And I was listening to a podcast that was talking about, I was listening to Uncanny X-Cast. I talked about this. They came back and they mentioned the Bear, and you know, usually podcasts don't get me to do stuff. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they subliminally do. In other words, I hear something, and then later on, I know I start reading something because of it. Like Vince B. mentioned Miguel O'Hara 2099 team-up book, and then I started to read it. So I'll like hear stuff on 11 o'clock comics or something, and then many weeks later, for some reason, I remember it, or it comes up, and I'll watch it or read it. And in this case, The Bear is about a cooking chef, and it just amazes me because of the absolute poverty these guys live in, and they're perfectionists, And he inherits a restaurant from his brother, and he was a sous chef in New York, a big rich sous chef, and comes back down to take over this restaurant that's in real shitty a real shitty shape. The employees don't care anymore. And it's amazing, though, as the show grows, I have to say I love every character in it. They're very interesting, even though I would never understand where these people are coming from. I find it fascinating. It's a train show wreck. It's very stressful to watch, but it's amazing. Really gives me an appreciation, too, for pretentious chefs, which I never had. I've been always one of those guys that just likes food that is not beautiful, but tastes good, like fast food and stuff. I don't have a palate for that fancy stuff. I've gone to several fancy restaurants and usually don't stick with it. In other words, I eat it and then I don't want anything to do with it anymore. So I'm gonna unplug my headset and see if it still records, because last time it stopped on me. But it should be charged. I'm drinking Dr. Pepper Zero cream soda. I'm actually getting sick of Dr. Pepper, which I never thought would happen. And I've been going to Pepsi Max and this cream soda Dr. Pepper. I don't know what's happening, because Dr. Pepper was always my go-to. But I don't know if my taste just got tired of it, because that's all I would drink. But I've switched for the time being. And that's where I'm at. So I will count the tallies. I forgot to talk about the other shows I've been watching. We're watching Gen V, which is the Boys tie-in. I think we're getting close to wrapping that one up. It was a lot better than I thought it would be. And a really, I think, essential series if you're a fan of The Boys. And the characters are all very interesting. And I enjoy that really a lot, too. So there's two series. The other series I've been watching off and on is Chips. I'm going back to season one. My season one walkthrough and watching, Ponch and John arrest people and save lives as California Highway Patrol officers. I've been really enjoying that. And there's one other series we started. Oh, Evil. We started the final season of Evil, too. And the reason is that is when we watch Gen V, even though I like it a lot, it's a one-hour episode, I want to watch something after it, and that's when we started watching Evil. We're on that the current last season of that. Wrap that season up, and then jump onto something else. And The Bear I'm watching while I exercise, but my wife is catching up to me. I'm in season 2, episode 6, and I think she's on season 2, episode 4. I don't know. I couldn't guess. But we talk about it. She always says, "Where did you leave off?" And I tell her, and then we talk about it for a little bit. Usually in the middle of the night when she goes to bed, and I've already been asleep for 3 hours. But my life is so strange. Yeah, and every time I go through previews, I have to place my order. And I go in with the intention that what if I try to only get 10 new issue number ones? Like, can I do it? And it's not like this FOMO. Like, some people have FOMO because they want to like I guess it is a sort of FOMO. It's not FOMO because I want to have everything to outshine everybody and say, oh, I got every comic, every run. It's more of a FOMO because I want to have it. In other words, I want to read it, but not necessarily right now. I want to read it at some point in time. It's a weird thing. And you could, with the majority, let's be pessimistic. Let's say 70% of the comics will not go up in value for the most part. I mean, they might go up a buck or so if I go through my comic shop to get them a year or two later. But if I do that, I wouldn't have to get everything all at once, and I'd be like, I'm in the mood for this, just place the order, instead of stockpiling it like everything else. But I'm one of those guys that this comic books are an addiction, and I'm used to getting a certain amount, and I go through this thing. I have reduced my ordering pretty significantly, and I'm no longer getting a lot of collected editions. So I have made cuts, and the reason I have is sometimes I'm overwhelmed with this stuff. Even though I want it and I want it, I get sad because I start feeling older and I'm like, well, what the fuck am I going to do with all this shit? Like, at some point in your life, you start realizing how much stuff you've accumulated and how you want to make it less because you're aging and you don't know what to do with it. Like, you want more space but less stuff. You want to be able to walk around because you can barely walk and not trip over a comic box. I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's strange. Yeah, today I went to the comic shop and I didn't get any back issues. I was tempted to. He's really put so much new stock on top of the back issues. Like, he's got several rows and he put so much stuff on it when he's bringing in new stuff, you know, from, he has stuff coming in all the time. When there was just one distributor, it was a lot easier for him, but now there's like five or six. And he has stuff coming in every day, so he takes away the back issues so you can't get to them easily and piles on the stock of the new issue stuff. So it's one of the reasons I don't thumb through stuff too much anymore, is I just don't want to put the effort of moving stuff around or telling him to move stuff around. And I picked up two drawer boxes. I'm running extremely low. I used to stockpile them, but now that he stocks them, I used to go to another store because he would not get drawer boxes. There was another store here called Heroes and Dragons, and they would order them almost specifically for me. He had some customers that would get them, but I would just order them in the bulk of 20 and then put the 20 in my storage unit and then put them together as I needed them. And now that he's got them, I've sort of been in a more on demand, which is kind of nice. So I could pick up a box every other week or every month. It just depends on how I fill it. I used to fill a short box every week, and now it's almost every 2 weeks. So it's a little better if you don't account the back issues. So I calmed down on the back issues, but it's at least one short box every 2 weeks, which used to be four drawer boxes a month, which was crazy. Also because I don't have time to read all of it. Yeah. So that's where things are. And Bill was on a 3-week vacation, so we haven't recorded a Geek Brunch. Getting the guys together for Geek Brunch Retro is nearly impossible during the summertime. Chris takes the whole summer off, more than the summer, really, from spring all the way to winter. And then Joe and Rob both have kids, so they're like hit or miss every weekend, and they haven't been able to record. So I've been doing it when I can't record with them, I just do another Mic M's and do it. And I don't mind. I would like to have content one episode a week of something. But now that we have space issues, maybe I'm not wanting to do one a week. I don't know. Maybe it's every other week. I don't know. I want to do them. I'm thinking about doing a Patreon, and I don't know what levels. I want to just do levels for people that want to help. But let me tell you what's happened, okay? A lot has happened. Prices have become outrageous, which is crazy because disk storage has become cheaper and cheaper. But costs are going up for everything. And they were all obfuscated for me. Yes, I would give Derek some money every 3 months or so. But now Derek isn't even recording podcasts anymore. And he's got several people like Marvel Noise and DC Noise and me, and which were migrating all our stuff to DC Noise Podcast in an effort to save money. And then there's all of Ed Moore's content and other content that I don't even know about. There's an indie comic book Noise and other stuff. But I think Derek is kind of like, it used to be affordable, and he liked to host it all. And now that it's a cost to all of us, like I just dropped $300 because our server was going to go down for a couple days because they couldn't pay the bills. So I'm like, okay, I'll pay the bill for everybody. But when you start paying it and you're used to not paying it, you're like, holy crap, I'm paying to provide free entertainment and it's costing me money. You know, like if it wasn't that I enjoy to talk comics to people and sometimes just talk to myself about it, I would just say it ain't worth it, because I don't think I have. I haven't asked Derek what the numbers are, but I don't think I have hardly any numbers. And I think podcasts are getting less known now that YouTube videos are coming out. And that's something I have no desire to do. I don't even like to video chat. So I prefer a phone call to a video chat. I don't know why that is, but that's just me. I'm still old school. There's also been stuff going on with AI stuff. Matina has been accused of using AI by some other people. And it looks, from the images I saw on, I think it was Superman cover number 18, it looks like it's the mistakes made or something a computer would do. So I don't even know what to think about that. Because I think AI stuff could be stealing stuff. Unless you're running AI against your own stuff, then I wouldn't consider that stealing. Because you're taking images, feeding images of your own work to generate something new. But when you start seeing images of somebody else's work, that to me is stealing. Even if I worked in AI. I was training neural nets, and I did it many years ago. I'm talking about like 15 years ago, and I loved it because this shit would learn patterns and stuff. You train on this tons of data, and you just let it run, and it learns it. Like it learns it. And then you can categorize that learning also through neural nets, and it, I never thought in my lifetime it would get to where it is now, where it's really scary. Like, I always thought of it as a good thing, and what people are using it for is bad things. So, and I think it's only going to get worse as time goes on. And I seeing my parents fight through technology to exist in this world, and then knowing that I might have to fight through technology because it's changing so rapidly when I'm 90, what am I going to have to do to pay bills then? You know, like, and what the what will hackers be doing about shit, you know, like more advanced stuff? Like, how do you protect yourself? And it almost, like, my dad doesn't even know the internet, you know? If it wasn't for my mom, it would be everything through the mail. But, yeah, it's crazy when you start to think about all this stuff. Especially when you're getting older, it's just batshit crazy. But one thing I can say is I love comics. I do love the art form. I love the stories. I love the fact that most of them are short, and it's like you get like this rush, and then you can move on to something else and get another rush of something else. I don't think I have time for something like a novel, although I would like to. If I could read novels, I would go into hard case crime, man. I would go into those hard case crime novels and just eat them up, because everything I've read from them so far has just been great. And I am going to do a top five list. The top five things I never thought I would be into, but I'm into. Number one, the Transformers. One of my favorite comics now. And I never gave two shits about them. Even though I bought the 4-issue Marvel comic back in the day that turned into an ongoing, I stopped right after 4, like it was the mini, and just didn't come back. And I've dipped my toe in on IDW from time to time, and this new series is got me hooked. It's one of the top five properties I never thought I would like that I like now. Number two, I never thought I would get into funny books. What I mean by funny books, you could say all comics are funny books, but what I mean is like Flintstones, Scooby-Doo, Looney Tunes. I've become infatuated now with Harvey comics and Popeye and things that I didn't think I would ever get into. I'm into now. Like, I'm very excited to get them. Number three, G.I. Joe. I never thought I would get into G.I. Joe. When I was young and G.I. Joe was coming out, I didn't watch the cartoon. I get into them at all. The toys, I had none. I think my brother, 3 years younger than me, was into them. He had some G.I. Joe toys, and he would get the comics. So we'd all go to the comic store, and we always said, let's try to get comics that we like, but that I'm not getting. So you can read my comics if you want to read it, but you pick your own comics and I can read your comics. But I never read his G.I. Joe. Well, he gave me his G.I. Joe many, many years later. And then I discovered IDW's G.I. Joe. So I started getting into G.I. Joe way before Transformers. And now I'm like caught up on G.I. Joe. Like, I'm reading G.I. Joe, American Hero. I'm reading Duke. I finished Duke. I finished Cobra Commander. I'm getting into Scarlet and Destro. And I'm still reading Larry Hama stuff, and I bought the 30th anniversary, or no, the hardcover collection that they're putting out on Kickstarter. I kept on telling myself, no, don't do this. But I don't have a full run of the series in hardcover because they never finished it. IDW never finished it. And then they threw in the Todd McFarlane issue that I have been, it's too expensive, that they basically said, what is this, Todd? It's bullshit. I don't want to have it in G.I. Joe. So later on, they made it a G.I. Joe special, and he got fired off that book, and that's the book I want. Well, that became one of the incentives. If you buy that set, you will get it for free. A facsimile edition of the Todd McFarlane G.I. Joe. The other thing I didn't think I would get into that is interesting, very interesting to me, to see. It's a thing I know nothing about, but I dipped my toe in, but never got into it. But it's adult comics. Like, it is a fascinating genre just because they hire these artists that are incredibly talented at drawing the body. Like, I'm just amazed at like what they can do. Like, that's the genre I never thought I'd get into. But now, if I can find an Eros comic, I will get it. If I can find a Aerosol comic, I will get it. Yeah, it's something that I never thought I would get into. Just never thought. And number five, I have to think about, because I've always been into Westerns. I've always been into war. I've always been into superheroes. I guess number five would be romance comics, because even though I've always liked Archie, romance comics are slightly different, and I find them fascinating because they're like a snapshot in time, plus they all have their Dear Abby variations in the letters pages, which I enjoy reading those. As much as I enjoy reading the comics themselves, I even bought two books based on romance comics. And I went to a romance panel at the last Heroes Con, and I absolutely loved it. So I try to pick those up anytime I run across them. And I like them. So we got Transformers, G.I. Joe, funny comics. What else did I say? Romance comics. And I can't even remember what the fifth one is. It just lost me. G.I. Joe, Transformers, romance comics, funny comics. Oh, and adult comics. This fifth. So those are the top five things I never, who knows, next time I might be in a Doctor Who, and I never wanted to do that. And I would say on the outskirts, looking in at number six, I never thought in my wildest dreams I would be buying manga. But I am reading manga from time to time, not like a normal manga reader, but I'm still knocking off Chainsaw Man, and I'm picking up some more crime manga when I do see them in previews, and I enjoy them. There's been a couple that I picked up, and I read them right away, and I, even though they were more like a one-shot type manga, I liked them. And I liked that World Harem, I think it was called. I liked that one quite a bit, even though I dropped off of that one. And that's another thing I never thought I would get into. And I'm finding the same thing in TV shows. I never thought I'd get into Charles Bronson or movies that I'm totally 100% into. I never thought I'd love the Planet of the Apes like I love the Planet of the Apes today. There's just things that I'm discovering. Like, and instead of getting instead of being like this crotchety guy, which you tend to see, it's having the opposite. Life is having the opposite effect on me, for better or worse. Worse is that I'm spending more money. Better is that I'm becoming more well-rounded in what I like, or I'm discovering things I never thought I would like. But you hear other podcasters, and as they get older, they turn into the crotchety, get off of my lawn type people. That is not my character. Like, so the comic shop I went into this past week, the owner wasn't there, and he went to go see his father for Father's Day. And another guy was there, and he's a guy I talk to a lot when he used to work there. He was basically working there so he can give the owner a break, so he can leave on a Saturday, and he could spend Saturday and Sunday and come back on Sunday night with his father, you know. So he could spend a day, pretty much a day with his father before driving back. And there's this guy there, and I talk to him a lot. This is another thing I've learned, which is a weird thing. And I'm going to talk a little bit about politics because it changed me. Donald Trump changed me. It changed me to the point where I became an angry anti-Trumper, like where anybody that was supporting him during his, I think, 3 years, the fourth year, I started to become a little more tolerant because I was like, I'm defriending people because they have different views, and that's wrong. I want to be the better person and just try to be friends with the people that have different views, even though I'm like, when Donald Trump was there, I just couldn't believe what his view on things and what it meant to democracy and stuff. And it was eating me up inside. And on Facebook, I was dropping family, friends, everything, because I couldn't take what they were posting. People were getting angry at each other. And I know that anger has always been there, but when Trump was there, it just extenuated, it made it bigger than it was. But now I'm tolerant of it. Like, just like comics. Like, if there's a comic that some guy I don't agree with politically, I want to be an historian. Like, I want to understand that comic book. I want to, even though their viewpoint is so different than mine, I want to read that comic book because it's a little story coming from somebody's mind that isn't like mine. And I've changed a lot like that because I just want to read comics. And I want to experience all comics, even things that I don't agree with. Sometimes shows or things that you don't understand turn out to be something that you want to understand. Like The Bear, I don't give a shit about cooking. I mean, yeah, I've watched Hell's Kitchen, but that's as far as I've gone. And this is a series about cooking and restaurant stress and stuff like that and everything that goes along with it. And I just became so engrossed in the characterization and stuff that, yeah, it's just crazy. But going back to the store, the guy went off on a tirade about DC. And he's like, I hate DC. They're woke. They have this Pride book coming out. They made Tim Drake gay. And then those. And I was saying, well, you don't have to read it, man. You know? You can vote with your wallet, but I try to look at it different. I told him, you know, I have friends that are gay and lesbians. I have friends that are, transgender. I have, you know, and I'm not going to break up my friendships with those people for anything, you know. They're human beings just like everyone is, and I still want to be your friend, even though I don't agree with you. We have comics and Valiant in common. So, you know, I said, well, I try to look at it differently. Like with Tim Drake, I was okay with. At first I couldn't stand it. I was like, how could this happen? You know, like, and then I thought about some friends I know, and I'm like, this could happen. You know, these friends were married. They were not gay. And then they, maybe they were, and they just didn't want society to go down that path. Maybe they didn't want to. Maybe they were always gay, and they didn't want to have their family see it or whatever because out of fear. Who knows? But I try to think about it. Well, maybe Tim is bisexual or whatever he's turned into because that happened. Like, and he was in love with another character, and that's fine. And I just try to think about, well, my friend used to be married to a woman, and now he's with another man, and that's perfectly okay. So why couldn't that happen to a comic book character that I'm reading? So, yeah, I told him that, and he kind of, like, backed off, you know. I don't know if he'll ever talk to me again, but I think he will, because we have a lot of Valiant to talk about, and it was kind of interesting because we were excited about Alien Books. And for the Valiant fan, it's amazing that Alien Books is putting out like 3 to 4 books a month and recirculating old material. So like I have to look at the old material and say, did I buy that in trade or buy that in hardcover, or did I re-want to get it, or, you know. And in some cases, like Eternal Warrior, it never came out, the hardcover omnibus, and I want that. And we've been really excited. It's like, wow, you know, Valiant's back. And I haven't had anybody to talk to about it because it seems like that Valiant community dissipated. A lot of it happened when Dinesh went. I wonder if that Valiant fan group is on Facebook. See if they can see if they're excited about stuff like I am. But Valiant brought so much people into my life through the Valiant podcast. I can't believe the people I met. You would think it would be for DC Noise or Geek Brunch because they've been going on so long, but I met a lot of people through Geek Brunch because of Heath, and we'd have the brunch buddies. And then DC Noise, once Daryl came on, and it was me, Daryl, and Keith, we had such a cult following that we became sort of popular. We got drawn into comics and all kinds of shit. Like, how does that happen? But Valiant had brought like another tier of people into my life, like the Nerdy Legion and Rob Krieger and so many other people came in through that Valiant podcast. And he's the only guy that I know of that pulls the Valiant book from my LCS. I don't even pull it from LCS. I get that through DCBS. But he's the only one that I know of that gets the Valiant. So yeah, I spoke up, you know, I where I stood rather than take it. But, you know, I've changed a lot, and I've become more tolerant with entertainment for sure. There was a point in my life where I wanted all art to look like the correct anatomy, and now I don't care. I'll look at Jeff Lemire art. I'll look at Sergio Aragonés and the guy who does 8-Ball and all this other stuff. Different art styles, and just experience stuff and enjoy it. Temple Smith, and when I first saw them, New Mutants by Bill, I can never, Sinkovich, I don't know, I ever had, know how to pronounce that. I was like, oh my God, should I stop getting New Mutants? But I've changed a lot. Like, I sort of want to experience everything. And like even experiencing Planet of the Apes, I watched the original movie like 10 times. I knew that, but I didn't watch anything beyond it. And I watched all the original stuff and loved it, and then rewatched all of the new, well, I watched the Tim Burton one in between. I watched them in order, which is probably my least favorite, but I still was really good. And then I watched all the new series stuff, and it made me even like the new series stuff even more than I did. Like watching it more times, I was like, this stuff, you know, that they put together from the new Planet of the Apes, really took a lot of concepts with the virus. Like in the original series, they mentioned the cat virus, the cat and dog virus, and that caused the people to adopt apes because they couldn't have cats and dogs anymore, and they were killing. Well, they changed the virus, so it's killing the humans, and it came from the monkeys because they were injecting them with stuff for Alzheimer's disease. And I'm like, when you start to break down the Planet of the Apes and you look at the new stuff, you're like, these guys that put together the new Planet of the Apes, they fucking love the original stuff. They had to. I mean, there's no fucking way they could have looked at all those movies and said they put ideas that were in that into their movies. And you maybe I'm crazy. Maybe it's just me seeing it, but I'd see it. So I'm rambling a lot because I had no questions. So I made up my own question, the top five list. See, I could even go on if I have no listeners because I can talk to myself. Sometimes I need to because I'm so excited about stuff. Like it's hard when I find a series like most of the series that me and my wife watch, we can discuss, but when I discover something like The Heist or what was the other one I watched? It was based on a manga, which I absolutely loved, or an anime. I can't think of the title right now, but when I watch stuff like that, and then the bear, I'm like, I wanna just talk about it because it's so goddamn good. And now I can ask questions, you know, because my wife's a little bit behind me, and the other show I wanted her to watch, and she finally watched, and then we watched the second season together, was killing it. Absolutely loved it. We watch all the Yellowstone or Tim Sheridan shows together. But yeah, I'm gonna come back with some weekly reads, and we'll be back. I hope you enjoyed this show, even though it was a lot of rambling. I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. And we're going to talk about books that I read from May 13th through May 19th, 2024. We'll start with the movies I watched. Escape from the Planet of the Apes. So I was still into the Planet of the Apes movies. Escape from the Planet of the Apes. I think. I don't know all the titles by heart. But I think this is one of my favorites. This, if this is the one where Cornelius and his wife escape from the Planet of the Apes and land on Earth, and they have their baby, and they're trying to protect their baby, and the humans find out that they came from Planet of the Apes, and that the astronauts that got there were murdered and stuff, and they think that they're going to be a threat to humanity. And it's crazy, really, really crazy. It's such a great movie. That week I had one Titan, one Penthouse Comics, one Marvel Comics, one Image, one Kickstarter, one Distillery, seven DC, one Black Mask, and one Antarctic. We'll start with the three out of fives. We had Gold Digger, War Mistress of Mars, number one. This is him, Fred Perry, doing adult Gold Digger comics. And it's basically two characters fighting for their lives in another dimension, naked. And it's not even the girl gold digger, but the cheetah girl that she hangs out with. And for the most part, I've been getting gold digger out of curiosity. I haven't always been a fan, and I tend to like the issues that are more on Earth and not multiverse stuff. I am kind of getting sick of the multiverse. I know the multiverse has always existed, especially in DC, but I'm just so tired of so many Spider-Men and so many versions of Venom and the Venomverse, and it's almost like they don't want to create new characters, so they create derivations of other characters so they don't have to pay anybody except the original creator. But this one was kind of like I was expecting more out of it because it was adult themed, but you know, I didn't get much out of it, but I am going to finish it. It's an expensive book. It's like $8.99. I think there are 3 issues or 5 issues in the series. I'm just going to finish it, and then I'm probably going to cut the cord on Gold Digger. I've experienced enough Gold Digger to not say I'm an expert, but I've at least dipped my toe in and tried it and gave it quite a few issues, and it wasn't for me. It was for me sometimes, like the earlier issues I liked because I went back and read number one and a couple others. But later on, when it gets crazy, it kind of loses my interest. The 4 out of 5s, No More Gods. This is a Kickstarter from Bad Bug. She is a god killer. Now the gods are joining forces to defeat a common enemy. So it's basically the story of a character that was wronged by the gods that is seeking to destroy them all. And the gods saying, fuck this shit. We're going to become friends of enemy. Even though we're enemies with each other, we're going to join forces to take out the god killer. I haven't seen a new issue of that solicited or on Kickstarter or an email pop up saying, hey, go get this. We got Witchblade 28 through 30. I've read 30 issues of Witchblade in a row. That's pretty incredible. I will say that since issue like 15, I started liking the series more. So I think it became plotted like a lot more, and I started to know the characters more and started getting more into the vibe of the book. But in 28 through 30, Sarah and her new partner find out who the killer is, but she gets away. Siri is forced to do Iron's bidding, and he wants Sarah dead. Jake is back, and Sarah lets him know about the Witchblade. The darkness rescues the woman that Sarah is after. So things are getting pretty heated and exciting. We got Blue and the Gold number 8. I had read 7 a long time ago. I was kind of reading this book as it was coming out, and then I lost track of the last issue and finally got around to reading it. And it did not disappoint, but I think it disrupted the flow for me enough, but I still gave it a 4 out of 5. We got Catwoman 59 through 62. This story is a train wreck to me, and it's so weird and so not in character to me, but I can't take my eyes off it. And I always end the issue like with a WTF, like, what the fuck? But it's this 9 lives story arc. It's been interesting. But The part that really drags me down is if she has 9 lives, it's a goddamn shame that she thinks she needs to spend these lives in one final shot of adventures, and it really perplexes me, especially the adventures that she chooses. And the fact that she can hijack Catwoman, okay, a jewel thief, an expert jewel thief, also has skills to fly a test ship that can go into space just fucking boggles my mind, okay? I'm sorry. It's one of those things that you're like, even though I don't, it seems so fucking weird, I'm enjoying it because it's so fucking weird. So we got Sword of Conan number 2, the 9 life story has been interesting. It's a shame. Wait, I didn't even take notes on fucking Sword of Conan. I was repeating. But it didn't continue from the last story. If I remember correctly, it continued the second Solomon Kane story about him looking for the lost boy for the mother. And the Conan story, I really don't remember, even though it was good. It was not nearly as good as the first story, because the first story I can remember. I can tell you about the first story. The second story I don't remember. But I thought it was good. Birds of Prey number 8. The Birds of Prey team with Vixen and go on a fashion show spree to find out who's trying to kill them. There were a couple of funny scenes in there. It kind of cracks me up that Vixen had Barda on the boardwalk. Barbara is sucked into a portal and Black Canary follows. We have Black Manta number 6. This was a really good comic. This is the conclusion, but it's a little vague on what happened to Devil Ray with his conclusion with Black Manta. Penthouse Comics continues all those anthology stories, and I think it introduced one more. So I've been enjoying that. More so, like, it isn't what I expected. It seems more like it's grounded and not in the heavy metal fantasy sci-fi area. It's more grounded on earthly stories, crime stories, things like that. The 5 out of 5s were Gangster Ass Barista. Love this comic book. Pat Shand continues to just fascinate me with stories that I don't think I would join, but I do. This is about a barista that hates her job and works at a place that to try to earn money, and she's broke and not paying rent, and she comes across a bag in the coffee shop that has lots of money, so she takes it. And then somehow blames a person, another coworker that doesn't like her, and she doesn't get along, that it's him. And then she feels bad about it. So her coworker is the lead suspect in stealing the money. She tries to help him, but somehow steals her money. Someone randomly steals her money, and she's carrying the bag, and now she has nothing. So I really want to see Gangster Ass Barista number 3. I have it lying here somewhere. I gotta find it, finish the story. Got Punisher 103. I thought this was the final issue, but I was wrong. There's still a 104, and I have that one lying around here somewhere. I need to wrap up the volume 1. 103 had CC and Phalanx fight the mafia in Bullseye. Phalanx dies. Rosali kills Vito. She's the woman that Punisher's after, and wants to refund from Bullseye. Pony Girl and Mouse, those are the new micros, if you will, working for the real Frank Castle. And he has them find Micro for him, because you remember Micro betrayed him. And Micro has CC being another Punisher. So it's a convoluted story, but goddamn, it's fun. 5 out of 5, I love it. And then the other 5 out of 5 is Somna, and I still need to get number 3. Well, one of the reasons I'm going to purchase a My Comic Shop order is because I missed number 3. Distillery is really fucking me with their previews because they show things that are in the magazine that are not orderable but are coming, and the things that have passed and the things that are still there, and it's confusing as fuck and hard to order. I just want to know what's there and order it. But this is the witch storyline where she's married to a, like, sort of a witch executioner, and she has a friend die at the stake, but she slips farther into her sinful dreamscapes as her husband's away and may lose her friendship with her best friend, who her husband got killed, and she's now having an affair with the husband whose wife died from witchcraft. So it's crazy. She is also becoming a suspect as her husband is away. So she's believed to be a witch now. This series is just beautifully drawn and so engrossing that I love it. We then have the 4 out of 5 Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. This was a good one. If I remember correctly, this is the one where the apes fight again against the... Is it the nuclear people? No, that's the last one. Battle for the Planet of the Apes. Conquest, I'd have to... It's been so long since it's been a month and I can't remember. Let me check, because I watched it, but I don't know. Conquest. I'm getting lost because I'm watching them all, and I'm getting lost which movie's which. Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. I just want a synopsis. Escape from the Planet of the Apes. Oh, this one is the Ricardo Montalban. So in the previous movie, they leave their... they leave their son with the... Caesar with the... A traveling circus. Ricardo Montalban owns that traveling circus, and then Caesar loses Ricardo Montalban, and that was like his father, like, that raised him, because they killed. So Cornelius and his wife Zira, she like somehow knows that they're in trouble, like they're being hunted. And she swaps babies at the circus with another ape. So her child, she leaves with another ape in the circus. And Ricardo Montalban raises him. And the guy that's scared that the Planet of the Apes are going to take over Earth again, shoot the baby. And this is... Conquest is when... Caesar raises an army to fight against their slavers, because at this point the apes are not just pets, they've turned into literally slaves, and they're beaten and stuff. And Caesar sees this, and they kill his father that he knew, and he's angry about it, and he has the apes rebel against them. So that's Conquest. And then there's a battle of the planet for the Planet of the Apes, which I'll talk about in a future episode. But we had 1 Zenoscope, 1 Rebel, 7 Marvel, 1 Mad Cave, 13 Image, 1 Eros, 1 Dynamite, 2 Boom, 1 Antarctic. And let me make sure I'm still recording. I should be, because I'm plugged in now. So we'll start at the bottom with... 3 out of 5s. Faded Furies from Antarctic Press. This is another one I tried because I like so many Antarctic books. And this one, it was a one-shot. And it's a fairy and her friend take down an evil reverend who is using them in an anime style or manga style. And this one I wasn't too crazy about, but I liked it. I just liked it. Mortal X-Men 18, sort of wrapping up the war with Storm and all the Martian characters on Mars. I didn't take any other notes on that because I started losing interest in that one. I still like Immortal. Well, Immortal... No, Immortal isn't X-Men Red. Immortal, this is the one with the group, and this one got started getting weird with Sinister and Professor X and Apocalypse. And they took out all the aspects of what I was liking about Krakoa. So I still need to finish the series and get into the pre-relaunch books. The 4 out of 5 is King Kong, The Great War. This one's long. This one is has wicked delays, and it's very strange for Dynamite, for sure. The World War One commander loses most of his crew, and the ape is chasing them down. Well, one thing I will say about this series is it's real well done. It's sort of a military World War One group getting slaughtered by all of the monsters on Monster Island while Kong is chasing them. But you don't see a lot of Kong. But it's still a really good book. We've got Faust number 15. Jade stabs herself with Faust claws, and all of M's plans are shot for another 30 years. She and the reporter are the only ones that are supposedly survivors. That's the finale. And my Faust experience was really good. I'm glad that I experienced it all again from beginning to end. I think the last few issues drove on a little too long with M just saying how much he hates God and wants to destroy creation. And I kind of got tired of his rambling and just wanted Faust to kill the motherfucker. Either Faust or Claire, because Claire was his wife who realized that he was a fuck up and decided to go against him because he started fucking... he was trying to have a child with the doctor who was dating Faust. So yeah, Elizabeth Bathory, Chapter 10. All the characters are fucking and merging into a single location on the coffin. We got Spine-Tingling Spider-Man 2 through 4. Didn't buy these. I read them on the app. The villain turns out to be the Jackal who's haunting Peter and making him believe he's lost his powers and is living in constant fear. This one, I will say, is way better than I thought I would enjoy it. But I read it digitally and enjoyed it way more than I thought. It was just going to be one of those stories to just read a mini and just say, but it was really done, well done. Witchblade number 31 is a really good issue as Sarah finds out her boss killed her father. Jake busts Gavin and her new partner goes after a mob boss. We have Universal Monsters Creature from the Black Lagoon number 1. Really well drawn. It's a woman is tracking a serial killer who drowns victims, and she gets rescued by the creature. We have Hack Slash, Kill Your Idols number 1. Casey and Vlad are after a serial killer, and that leads them to Super Patriot, Bloodstrike, and Shadowhawk, and they eventually fight and knock off Stormwatch. So this one turned out to be kind of fun because I just bought it because it was Hack Slash. I didn't know I was going to get, like, Image Creations in there. I had no idea. Super Patriot from Eric Larson. Bloodstrike from Rob Liefeld. Jim Valentino, Shadowhawk. And we had some Jim Lee. Stormwatch, even though they weren't really Stormwatch. Because DC owns them now. We have Marvel Zombies Black, White, and Blood. 2 through 4, really good. Fantastic Four and X-Force story. And the beta build was really good. I enjoyed these. Usually, I like less than... There's usually three stories in every book, and I usually like one. But I think with this series, I kind of liked every one story that they offered in this anthology, Black and White series. We have Duke 2 through 5. Duke is on the run from G.I. Joe and has to become allies with the Baroness as they escape the pit. At the end, Hawk tells him why he did what he did, and Baroness took Major Blood's eye. Real fun series. Like I talked about, I'm a big G.I. Joe fan now. Rat City number one. A mercenary group is destroyed, and the survivors are tested to become cyber soldiers, but the two fail. One looks to becoming a futuristic Spawn. Pooh versus Bambi number one. They are mercenaries, and Pooh kills Bambi for protecting humans. Now Bambi is on the run, and Piglet and Christopher Robin find Pooh. Like this one way more than I thought. I thought it was going to be like some knockoff that was just fun, but I tend to really like the story, and the art was pretty good. So we got the 5 out of 5 is Uncanny Valley, Tony Fleece, number 1 and 2. A kid is trying to fit in the school and never gets hurt, and he finds out he is half cartoon and starts hanging out with his cartoon grandpa. And it gets crazy, and it's fun. I'm glad I got that. I almost didn't. Redcoat number one, he interrupts a cult sacrifice that is intended for Ben Franklin, and now he's immortal. He gets killed throughout the ages, and later, young Einstein digs him up from the grave. That universe has been so much fun, the Ghost Machine. Everything I've read has been really, really good. I finally got around to reading Click Click Boom Boom. Me and Bill covered number one like long time ago, and I had in a box 2 through 5. But she hunts a corporation that killed her grandfather and becomes best friends with the reporter. And man, this series is amazing because she can't speak and communicates through the photographs that she takes. And she's a badass too. This series is so good. I highly recommend checking out Click Click Boom Boom. We have Dick Tracy number one from Mad Cave. A reporter meets the city planner, and they had an entire cafe is slaughtered by Flat Top and crew because of that conversation in the diner. They just kill everybody in the diner and take off. This leads Tracy to test Trueheart, and they're trying to find Mumbles because he knows what happened. We have Pine and Merrimack 3 through 4, one of my top favorite comics for 2024, for sure. Pine and Merrimack is so damn good. I just can't wait to see what how it wraps up, especially after reading issue 4, because it involves a cult. It involves the mystery of the girl. It involves a sex cult. So there's like a killer cult, a sex cult, all this kind of crazy shit that's going on. And at the end of number 4, something happens that you're like, did that just happen? You know, like, I don't want to give it away because there something happens, and you're like, well, how are they going to continue this series? So I got to get that number final issue, which I know came out. So that wraps up everything. You could send email. I'm going to change my email over the course of a year because I'm paying a lot for this corporate Gmail account. And as soon as I can get some accounts off of it, I'm going to move over to MikeMyersBrunch@gmail.com. So that's how you get a hold of me. MikeMyersBrunch@gmail.com. And you can send me questions there. You can tell me what you liked about the episode, what you didn't like. Yeah, and also you can reach me on X/Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch, and on Blue Sky is the same account at Mike Myers Brunch, and you can find us at DCNoisePodcast.com, where you'll find Geek Brunch, Geek Brunch Retro, Mike M's Weekly Reads, at DC Spotlight. I want to thank you for listening to my podcasts, putting up with me for many years, some of you, and I'll thank the few listeners that I think I have. So thanks for listening to me ramble, and we'll talk to you very soon. See ya. Bye.